Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
All right, Dan Canobio, Inside Boxing Live. Right now, we are deep in the bowels of the Barclays Center. This is a special edition of Inside Boxing Live, and I'll tell you why it's a special edition, because right now, sitting next to me, he is the voice of NXT. You can hear him there. You can hear him on Bellator.
Yeah, coming up.
You can also hear him tonight. You will hear him on Showtime Championship Boxing, 2 hours away, where will be a triple header headlined by Danny Garcia and Sean Porter. By now, you know who I'm sitting next to. He is the great Mauro Ranallo, and here he is. Thank you, Mauro.
Did you spell that G-R-A-T-E or G-R-E-A-T when using the word great?
I do E-A-T.
Oh, thank you.
No shortage of characters.
Grazie mille. Yeah. Grazie mille.
Two Italians here just chopping it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking boxing, combat sports.
And looking forward to talking to you, my friend. I apologize. I know we've tried to do this on myriad occasions, but here you caught me cruising the catacombs of Barclays Center on Saturday night fight night, and I'm really excited to be doing this with you.
No, it's cool. I know how busy you are, and I've always wanted to get you and always wanted to get a broadcaster right before they're about to go like on the air. Right now, we're in the press conference room. We're about, let's say, 2 to 3 hours away from showtime, literally, when we go on the air. So, like, I got to figure, all your preparation is done. Mm. All your homework is done. You read over the CompuBox stats,
yes, of course.
Show stats, of course.
My go-to.
So, what goes through your head? Like, are you try to stay calm, or what's the final preparations for you?
Yeah, it's working with Showtime especially, where there's such a familial atmosphere amongst us on the staff. So we get together as announcers, the rest of the broadcast team, even some of the crew, and we'll have a crew meal and where we try to talk about everything but the show, I think, because everyone, like you say, we put our time and energy into preparing, and this is our last chance to just kind of relax a little bit. And just like the athletes themselves, I mean, we get into game mode as well, or I would hope we do. And for me, after the meal, I tend to just walk around and get a feel of what's happening. And the preparation is done, the work is done, and it's just all about getting ready for that opening bell and anticipating a terrific night of fights.
Now, I was doing some research on you, and I type in the Wikipedia, Mauro Ranallo.
Uh-oh.
First of all,
uh-oh.
I mean, it's so accurate. It has to be accurate. It's on the internet.
So I mean, don't believe what they write on the internet, especially about yours truly. I wasn't there. I plead the fifth.
You plead the fifth. I can do that these days. But so I type it in, and I found this nugget that I just thought was super interesting and just kind of amazing. And you can either confirm nor deny this. Mm. In 2015, Ranallo became the first sports broadcaster in history to call boxing, kickboxing, MMA, and professional wrestling on U.S. national television. First of all, is that true?
Not bad for a Canadian boy from Abbotsford, British Columbia. And honestly, I know there have been others since, but at the time it was. I was doing SmackDown on the USA Network, mm-hmm. For professional wrestling, but even before then had been on Access with New Japan Pro Wrestling,
right.
Showtime Championship Boxing and CBS,
right.
MMA on CBS, kickboxing on ESPN. That's weird. I didn't even really realize it, but looking back now, I know, again, I think there's been one or two others that have maybe done it, but I'm very humbled to hear of that, and wow, what a journey to be able to do that. Like I say, not bad for a kid from Canada.
Yeah, so what I want to know is, how do you keep, when you're a broadcaster, you have to stay in the know on everything.
Yes.
You have to be up to date. Like right now, you're out doing a boxing, but you have to know what's going on in Bellator MMA. You have to know what's going on in the NXT world. How, first of all, before we get into this, how do you keep that going? I'm sure Twitter helps, of course.
Internet has been we joke and we can crack wise about the internet, but in terms of a broadcaster and a broadcasting career, in terms of research and everything else, it has simplified the process exponentially. And for me, the internet is a huge help, but also my curious nature. Since I was a kid, I love doing research. I've always been a guy who wants to go down the rabbit hole. So I have files on my computer that I keep up to date. And you're right, I do follow the major storylines and everything I'm involved in. But like a lot of people, I've learned to compartmentalize. And so the week of, let's say, a Showtime Championship boxing event, it'll be all tunnel vision boxing. Right. Yes, I'll have a cursory glance at what's going on elsewhere. And that's just who I am. I'm a pop culture fanatic. I consume way too much television in general in terms of and music. So for me, I live in this world, so I'm always orbiting what I do for a living. But I'm also learning as I near the age of 50 here that I don't need to follow everything as diligently as I once did, because at this level, we now know what the main players are, and I know what the rules are, and I know what the storylines are. So in terms of keeping up to date, I've learned to just compartmentalize and just focus on what's next. And for me, it's Showtime Championship Boxing. 3 weeks ago, I was in this building doing NXT Takeover.
Baby.
So it's, you know, every day is a new adventure.
Yeah, one of my roommate, he's going to love this right here. He said, I said, I'm interviewing Mauro Ranallo before the fight thing. He goes, Mauro Ranallo is the modern day JR.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
So what do you think of that?
And I do like that. But you know what? I've also said this, and Jim Ross is a friend of mine, legendary voice at WWE. And I think about this for all of us. Everyone, and I know we're as guilty of as anything, especially in sports broadcasting. He's the next so-and-so. She's the next so-and-so.
Right.
We're the first ourselves. Mm-hmm. And honestly, as much as it warms my heart to be compared to legends like Jim Ross, I'm the first me, and that's all I want to be.
Right.
So, but I thank him for that. That's very nice of him
to
say.
So what's the biggest difference between preparing for a wrestling show, preparing for a boxing show, preparing for an MMA show?
At its core, nothing. It's all about characters and storylines and getting people emotionally invested in the narrative. And at the end of the day, the difference is, well, the moves and the structures. But in boxing, it's about more than that. And I think from a broadcasting standpoint, we have to tell the story. I mean, the action speaks for itself on television. There's a right hand, a left hook. Mm-hmm. But why is this fight happening? And what are the stakes? And in terms of wrestling, yes, it's a form of scripted entertainment, but it's still very athletic based.
It is?
Well, it's still real to me, damn it.
Okay.
But in terms of the aesthetics, for me, I've been very fortunate that everything I do is in that ring or cage, as it were. But the prep is very similar because it's all about characters, narratives, and storylines. So, and thankfully, I mean, when you do it as long as I have, I know all the moves. I know all the holds in wrestling. I know how to call a punch in boxing, and I know how to call punches and kicks in kickboxing. So that's not too difficult in that regard.
So your style is one of a kind. And you said you love pop culture.
Yeah.
You love TV shows.
Yeah.
I know you're going to throw out some pop culture references.
Will I, though? See, that's the one thing. One thing I do. I'm
both
saying, I'm
going
to tell you first. That's funny you say that. I know it's almost, and again, we all, you know, we had the Mamma Mia catchphrase, which was really a tribute to my mom.
That's awesome.
But in general, you know, I don't want to just be that running gimmick either. I genuinely love what I do, and I love to be in the moment, and a lot of time in the preparation because of my voracious appetite for all information. I do write things down to keep track, but in my mind, it's always, I don't want to shoehorn it, or I don't want to just say it for the sake of saying it. So I hope that everything I say is connected to something in the moment. And yes, if I can make the event or the fight that much more interesting to a casual fan by connecting it to something that they may be more familiar with, I will try to do that.
All right, so I have some.
Oh, wow.
Now.
Okay, good.
Let's see if they come.
All right.
So you can use these tonight if
absolutely.
You want.
I will pay you in Canadian loonies.
Or you can just credit me, say inside boxing.
All right.
Live, okay, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it in the
Do it.
No anonymous sources here. These two participants have put their name on their hatred of one another.
I like that one because it goes with what I might be using with all of these cuts that Garcia and Porter are leaking more than political documents. But I like that one, too. Good one.
That's actually better. Okay, and we got this one right here. This one is a little bit of a stretch.
You have to take chances in life, man.
And Danny Garcia, he's hightailing it out of the ring just like the late, great Burt Reynolds in Smokey and the Bandit.
I'll give you I think Sean Porter gave Danny Garcia a C in his comeback fight against Brandon Rios.
That's
Garcia
good.
Gave himself a B.
Right.
I'm going to go in between. I'll give you a C+ for
that
one.
So listen, if you want to throw those out there.
But see, it's funny because you're right. And I get why some people are turned off by it or whatever, because in the moment when you just put it like that, it does seem kind of weird or awkward or at times. But I guess for me, again, being in the moment and trying to Otherwise, I guess I myself get bored because let's exactly. face it, at the end of the day, yeah. it's a left hook, it's a right hand, left yeah. hook, up right uppercut. I get that. And so for me, I do want to spice it up a little bit. Right. That's my style.
And if you want to make, and the best part about it is you make Al chuckle every
oh,
time.
Oh, I love doing it. You know, and that's, and Al Bernstein one, is a godsend, man.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's a guy that, you know what, even if it's not that funny, he will support me, which not all broadcasters will do. But he's a mensch, as they say.
Yeah, he's great. I've known him since, I mean.
Well, probably you were in diapers.
Yes, Al Bernstein. It was ESPN. Al was on ESPN.
Al's been
everywhere.
To work. But look at this. Look how fortunate I am. I know we're interviewing about my prep and stuff, but this is really how much I do care and love my Showtime family. Al Bernstein, Hall of Famer. Steve Farhood, who helps me immensely,
great.
Hall of Famer.
He's
Barry
so nice.
Tompkins, legend. who was just been an absolutely incredible human being to me, just mm-hmm. a tremendous source of inspiration, mentorship, and just friendship. All these Hall of Famers that I'm surrounded by who willingly give me their expertise and their time yeah. to help me be the best boxing broadcaster I can be. I'll be forever indebted.
Now, what a year it's been for you. I mean, just personally,
mm-hmm.
from calling, you know, Mayweather-McGregor, which I was there too, and it was just electric. I mean,
the money fight.
The lead up to it was unbelievable. Now you have that. You had the NXT job.
Yep.
And you had the release of Bipolar Rock and Roller,
yes.
which was just amazing. Let me just tell you right
now.
Well,
thank you very much.
I thoroughly enjoyed
most
it.
Most important aspect of my life is my mental health advocacy, so I appreciate that.
I mean, it was raw. It was entertaining. I mean, it was everything you want in a documentary. And going into it, you know, we've heard so much about it, your
sure,
story
sure.
and everything about it. And just what is the response has been from there? Because right now, you are one of the faces
yeah.
of mental health advocate, of a fully functioning, a high functioning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I am very blessed to be doing what I do and just be here simply being alive. But the support of Showtime especially, and everyone, WWE, Bellator, all of my employers in their efforts to help get this documentary on the air and to support the message, because you're right, it's something that, and the reason for the documentary, I want to smash the stigma of mental health. I want to smash stigma in general, in our society especially, and the best, worst advertising that the documentary could receive following its release were these high-profile suicides of celebrities who really made people realize that it can be anyone. And that's what I try to stress. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how famous you are, how successful you are, who you are, male, female, whatever creed, color, whatever, you are susceptible to suffering a debilitating mental illness.
Yeah.
And frankly, we talk about everything. We ask each other, I think the most asked question you hear in a day, hi, how are you? Or hey, what's going on?
Everything's good.
And,
great.
And people, do you really want to know the answer?
Yeah.
And B, do you want to give the answer? Most, especially men, the stigma, the shame. And it breaks my heart because the feedback has been overwhelming and we've just scratched the surface. With all due respect to what Showtime has done, and thankfully they continue to air it at different times. It's available on demand. But speaking of demand, there seems to be this worldwide demand for something like this. And it's much bigger than me. And it's much bigger than all of us. And I believe that the people I work with at Showtime, first and foremost, I think it's touched them in a very personal way. I believe we're all touched by the fire that is mental illness.
Yeah.
And the more we talk about it, the more we can normalize it, the more it becomes easier to get help.
Right.
And that's the thing. If just imagine simply conversing can lead to getting the help that you need to save
right.
your life.
Right.
The fact that so many people are dying because they're ashamed to talk about it, because society has made them feel weak or lazy, and it happens within families. So that's the reason I agreed to do the documentary, and I'm so happy, like I say, the fact that Showtime especially was so fully on board. Knowing the risks involved, obviously, this, you know, we're in a high-profile situation, and a lot of the times, people in my condition or my situation, they don't get an opportunity or many opportunities like I do. And you say, I am highly functioning, but I can tell you this right now. You ask what happens before a broadcast. There are some moments of extreme doubt or wondering, yeah. is this the night that you're going to be exposed for the fraud you are? So as you saw in the documentary, I deal with this on a daily basis. But work talking to you, talking to my friends, and just doing the job is therapy, and that's what I hope to express to people more. Don't quit chasing your dreams, because in the end, the dream may, in fact, keep you alive.
Yeah. So I think everyone suffers from 100%. Different forms of anxiety. I suffer from forms of anxiety.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we work in a live format,
sure,
which is nuts. I mean, I do the CompuBox and the show stats. You're out there live. Do you feel like that kind of helps in a way? Because it's almost like trial by fire. You're thrown right into the
100%. It in weird way is my therapy, because there is no net. It is live TV,
like,
and you're under so much scrutiny that and that's why, whether you like my work or hate it, you can't deny that what you are hearing and feeling is authenticity and it's passion, because I live in that moment. I give everything to my craft, because honestly, I don't know if this is going to be the last time.
It's unbelievable.
So I want to leave it all out there each and every night, because it is why I exist. I want to tell stories. I want to impact people. I want to help people. And if it's kind of a dichotomy, because I make a living calling fighting, where we all fight for something. And that's in general with the documentary, you know, everyone has a fight. And so for me, I just want to, again, simply help remove the stigma of mental health, because it is unnecessary and it is lethal.
Yeah, I want to thank you for doing it, because I watched it and I was like, you know what? I'm not alone.
No.
A lot of people aren't alone. That's the best part about it.
100% what I wanted to let people say is that, you know, because every I hear it all the time, man, you got the greatest job. Well, I love to do what you do. Man, you have the best life. Yeah, you're right. In many ways, I have an amazing life, but I want to let you know that there's also this aspect. And I think the more people with a profile or a platform, and I hope much bigger than mine, will get on board and help spread the message, so we can save a few lives.
Another great part of that documentary, in addition to all the great messages and great parts, was that hike you went on.
Oh, yeah.
Rocking the CompuBox t-shirt.
I had the t-shirt. I was giving you a little love there. I was donating some sweat to the cause.
I saw you hiking up there, and I quickly had a pause. Like, wait a second. I said it to my dad. I was like, is Mauro wearing
I am supporting the cause.
But you're wearing an old one. I got to get you a new one.
There you go.
It's the old school CompuBox
shirt. Bring in the new.
We have a new one. This is 30 years and counting.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so
I love
30
that.
Years. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time.
I've been
not as
32
many 30
years. 32
really?
Years. Yes,
wow.
I started at 16.
Wow.
So, wow, I'm a little longer than you guys have been doing CompuBox. Yeah,
So was that 88?
1986. 16 years old, hired by the All-Star Wrestling promotion in Vancouver. Found myself on nationwide television in Canada right before
the
explosion.
Clips.
Oh, yeah, man. I was going to be the next Jimmy Mouth of the South Hart or Paulie Dangerously or Jim Cornette, but life had other plans.
What? Before we wrap this up, what your favorite fight you've ever called?
Wow. Yes.
Let's just stick with boxing.
Yes.
What's that?
That's the answer.
Yes? All of them?
No, I hate
we'll
answering
stick with
this.
Boxing.
I hate answering. I've been like, it's an embarrassment of riches. I actually started with Showtime Boxing the months before Floyd Mayweather came over. So I've been a part of some of the biggest events in boxing history. But in terms of my favorite fight, wow, it's just too hard, man. I remember John Molina in my one and only appearance on Showbox.
Okay.
Filling in for Barry Tompkins, where he was behind against Mickey Bay in front of Mickey Bay's promoter, Floyd Mayweather, where it was all Mickey Bay was final round, come from behind, knockout win for John Molina Jr. He was also in the fight of the year that I called against Lucas Matisse in one of my favorite venues.
He had a run. StubHub just produces great
incredible
fights.
Man. Anthony Joshua, Vladimir Klitschko, 90,000 people, Wembley Stadium. Being on CBS with Keith Thurman and Sean Porter. There's just way too many, and there are no favorites, because it continues, and I hope that the best is still to come.
How about the overall health of the sport? So much moving and shaking
incredible.
Going on right now with the streaming services, Showtime.
Yep.
You know, they're ringing up, and they're going to be partnering with Fox and continuing with PBC. Everywhere you look, every time you go on the websites, there's something new going on in the sport. What do you think the overall health of the sport is?
I think, led by Stephen Espinoza and Showtime Championship Boxing, and I know I'm biased, but I will say the truth, because it is the truth. Look what has happened over the course of the last 6 years. I think, led by Showtime, we are seeing others wanting to, again, the sport is in a great place, because of the live sport content. And yes, you have all these other players coming in. I think competition can only make things better for everyone. But the best will continue to fight the best on Showtime.
All right, Mauro. I really appreciate you taking some time here.
My pleasure.
I guess we got to go to work now, right?
We got to go to work, my friend. I got to go and make sure that Paulie Malignaggi gets his CompuBox stats.
Yes, that's
show
very
stats.
Important. I know he loves the stats. He can't do a broadcast without them. So make sure you tell him how great the podcast was. 100%. We're gonna get Paulie on.
That's what you gotta
that's,
do. You gotta convert. You gotta convert Mr. Malignaggi.
I'll have to talk to Mr. Chris de Blasio, who helped us set up this interview.
Chris is the best.
Yeah,
Chris
shout
is
out to
the
Chris.
Best. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.